Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's great to be here this morning with you. Forgive me if I overdress, because I'm going to speak after this to the Cantonese congregation too. First of all, let me bring my greetings to all the mothers here, whether it's in person or online. Wish you all a very, very happy Mother's Day. Your selfless love and cares are enormous. Really wonderful to have you. Because of Mother's Day, I'm going to share with you this morning a character from the Old Testament, a person that most of you are very much familiar with. It is Ruth. Because of the time limitations, I'm not going to read the scripture again. We have Michael read it already. So we just pay attention to the highlight words here. The scripture talk about when Ruth first met Boaz while gleaning, gathering grains from the among the bundles. Here Boaz said to Ruth, "You have come to take refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel." Actually, this is the title and the focus of our sermon this morning. Ruth is the lady who took refuge in God. I'm not sure whether you like the book of Ruth. This book is one of my favorite in the Old Testament. Why? Because it's short, only four chapters, and it's a love story. I'm not sure how you read it. When I read it, I keep going to the very end. And when we find the happy ending, we just feel joy and warm. Is that right? Everyone like happy ending. But what was the setting? What's the background in which the book of Ruth takes place? Actually, according to the first chapter, the book of Ruth takes place in the times of Judges. As we all know, in the times of Judges, both politically and religiously are dark. Yet, in times of this darkness and chaos, we can see there are love and hope. And even nowadays, we are in a very chaotic, very difficult times of our ages. But at the same time, we see God's here. He will come to lead us and give us love and hope. So the book of Ruth is written in a story format. As we all know, if there's a story, there's usually a plot. A plot is a beginning, a development, a turn or twist, and a closer. And we're going to do sharing this morning using this format. When we talk about the sets talk about the origin of the story. What this story is about. It talks about a family of Elimelech who live in Bethlehem, the Judea. But when there was a famine in the country, Elimelech left Bethlehem with his wife and two children to live in Moab. So basically, this is about an immigration story. When there's a famine, and then Elimelech just brought his family to Moab to deal with a predicament. Well, at the beginning, perhaps the family planned to stay there just for a while to avoid the famine. That's it. But it ended up they stay there for 10 years. There's nothing wrong with relocating to another country. Like many of us in Canada, Chinese, most of us were born overseas. There's nothing wrong to find a better place, a safer, a freer, a more comfortable place to live for ourselves and for our family. And yet, this immigration story ended up not a successful one. Because the Bible in 1st chapter 3 to 5 told us Elimelech died in Moab. And then both his sons marry Moabite women, but good things doesn't last long. Both of sons pass away and leaving only Naomi and two daughters-in-law. Here highlight without her two sons, her husband. No husband, no sons. In a society dominated by male at the time, the three widows we're facing a very difficult, desperate situations. So in the first part of end part of chapter 1, when Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem, and the people in the city were stirred, and the woman said, "Can this be Naomi?" And then Elimelech left Bethlehem with a family of four to find refuge. But 10 years later, returned with only Naomi and Ruth, a foreign daughter-in-law from Moab. So Naomi summarized what she went through by telling the people in Bethlehem that, "Don't call me Naomi," meaning sweet. "Call me Mara," meaning bitter. She said, "Because the Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Maybe this is what she thinks God is punishing her. It will be tragic if the story ends like this. No, it's not. Here come the truth. The Bible here said, as it turned out, when Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem, it turns out Ruth was working in a field belonging to Boaz, a close relative of Elimelech. There's no accident in God. It's a time of God's deliverance indeed. The twist of the story fell on a foreign woman. In the eyes of the Jews, the Gentiles are unclean. They are not worthy at all. But the appearance of this woman, Ruth, became the turning point of the whole story. So she went out into the field, okay? Oh, sorry. In Psalm 8, verse 2, it says, "Through the place of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger." So our God is good and faithful. He does amazing things. Amidst darkness and despair, he did not forget his people. In his time, he shows, he heals, and he saves. And then in the chapter 2, the scripture we read this morning, the turning points come now. The turning point wasn't because Ruth became Miss Moab, because her beauty and wisdom win the favor of a rich man, Boaz, so that the predicament of her and Naomi was over. No, it's not like that. The truth is rather, Ruth came to take refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel. By doing that, not only did she and her mother-in-law were blessed, but God also made her a part of his saving plan, through which many, many more people are blessed. So the turning point is actually when Ruth take a choice, make a decision to take refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel. But what exactly is taking refuge means? Like we highlight here in this screen, that basically it means to seek protection in times of trouble. That's what taking refuge means. As I highlight here, this word appears 34 times in the Old Testament and 25 times in Psalm. But very importantly, all this word, as marked in the Bibles, all referring to God. That means God is our refuge. God is our only refuge. In times of trouble, in whom do we normally take refuge? Whether it be money, whether it be power, whether it be people with huge resources or connections, or God. In Psalm 118, 18, verse 8 to 9 said, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." Here in Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So taking refuge mainly we relied on God alone. It is our refuge. So Ruth took refuge in God in times of trouble. It became the turning point of her life. What inspirations can we get from this? And what can we learn from her taking refuge in God? We try to understand more about the meaning of taking refuge by comparing Ruth with other characters in the story. First, we compare Ruth with Elimelech. Well, we note Elimelech was a Jew who knew God and worshiped God. But when there was a famine in the country, he chose to leave Bethlehem with his wife and two sons to live in Moab, hoping to deal with the current crisis. On the contrary, Ruth, a Moabite woman from a foreign country, was born with no part in the God of Israel. But in times of crisis, she chose to take refuge in God. What an irony. A Jew take other means for refuge. On the other hand, a foreigner, a Moabite woman, take God as her refuge. So even though we might have attended church for many years, we may have heard a lot of sermons, and even though we can even quote passages from the Bible, it doesn't mean that we will automatically take refuge in God in times of trouble. Whether a person really takes refuge in God is often made known when a difficulty comes. The COVID that we have been facing the last more than two years may be a good example. In times of trouble, in home, we take refuge. We're using our own method, or we are relied on God. Have you noticed that, relatively speaking, in times of trouble, I find that sisters are more often willing to rely on God than brothers. I know, heaven say that I'm offending a lot of brothers. In times of trouble, I find that usually sisters are more willing to rely on God than brothers. I think probably because human beings, the nature of human being, I mean man, when there's a problem, we usually find a way to solve it ourselves. We try to use our own means and method instead of simply wait upon the Lord. I'm not saying that finding a solution to deal with an immediate problem, or in this case, migrate to Moab as a way to deal with the famine, was a wrong decision. I recently attended a Transform Prayer Course from the Alliance, which mentioned about the Lord's Prayer, particularly in Give Us Today Our Daily Bread. It emphasizes that we should seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and that whatever we need, God will provide us. So no matter how realistic our needs may be, they should not precede the kingdom of God, the will of God. Look at our Lord Jesus. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, he was hungry. And Satan said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Well, the need of Jesus is legitimate. It's real. After 40 days of fasting, he's really hungry. Yet Jesus did not submit to Satan's temptation. God's will always comes first. Bonhoeffer speaks well into this issue. Bonhoeffer said, "Earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security and freedom from anxiety. Yet all the time, they are the very source of all anxiety. We thought we have money, we have this and if that, well, we're free. No more anxiety. Yet actually they are the source of anxiety. And he said, when we seek for security in possessions, we are trying to drive out care with care. And the net result is precisely opposite of our anticipation. So we see from the Ruth example, Ruth had decided to receive the Lord, God of Israel, as her God, as her refuge. The whole point of Lord's Prayer and Jesus' teaching on the daily bread is that God knows our need. And our greatest need is that he be the center of our existence. He is the center, not the bread, not the daily need. If we put needs in the center, and needs becomes the God of our existence. But on the other hand, if we put God in the center, God will take care of the needs of our existence. So in this crisis, we see the difference. Ruth differed from Elimelech. Although Elimelech was a Jew, he knows God, but he chose other means as a refuge. But on the other hand, Ruth, although a Moabite woman, chose God, the God of Israel, as her God and her refuge. It reminds me of Psalm 16, verse 4. The sorrow of those who replaced the Lord with other gods will increase. There's only one God, and he is our refuge in times of trouble. Let's see another comparison. When we compare Ruth with Oprah. When Naomi heard about in Moab that the Lord had come to aid of his people by providing food for them in Judea, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. And then in chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, Naomi indicated clearly that she was too old to bear children and became husband to her daughters-in-law. It is because this is tradition of the Jews that if a woman's husband dies, the brother of the deceased is responsible for marrying her and continue his line of descendants. Therefore, for the benefit of these two daughters-in-law, Naomi have been very clearly suggest that for the benefit of these two daughters-in-law, they should stay in Moab and remarry instead of following her back to Bethlehem. As a result, the Bible said, Oprah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth claim to her. Ruth's decision was not a spur of the moment. She knew very well that if she and Naomi went back to Judea, she would have to leave the country where she was raised and familiar and enter to a foreign land with different culture and background. I think there's something new immigrant face all the time, like many of you and me. What's more, she will most likely be a widow for life. As Naomi has already shown clearly, she sees no way out. For the culture of the time, women without family and children were hopeless. So it's not an easy decision at all. But we find that Ruth made up her mind and said, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. So when Ruth said that, she has made up her mind. Her commitment is firm and complete. And Naomi is no longer refused her offer. Ruth's commitment is complete. There's no plan B. There's no other way out. She knows it's hard, but she committed with no reservations. Jesus talked about the cause of following him in Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62. And he said, "No one who put a hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." When we decide to follow Jesus, there's no reservation. There's no turning back. And finally, we compare Ruth with Elimelech's nearest kinsman. In chapter 3, the Bible mentions about Boaz's willingness to marry Ruth to continue the line of Elimelech. But there was a relative even closer to Elimelech than Boaz. And this relative had the right and duty to redeem the land of Elimelech. So therefore, a conversation between Boaz and this relative was recorded in the book of Ruth, chapter 4. And the relative was willing to redeem Elimelech's land. But after knowing that, she also had to acquire Ruth, the Moabite, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, then he reject. He withdraw for the fear of endangering his own estate. He passed his right to Boaz. So obviously, the nearest kinsman very more of his own interest instead of fulfilling his duty. But on the other hand, we see Ruth is different. On the contrary, Ruth took refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel. She commit totally. After she make this decision, she walked the talk without compromise. In Boaz's conversations in chapter 2, we read earlier this morning, Boaz said, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before." Ruth lived up to what she had committed. She worked hard and did her best in taking care of Naomi and became a good testimony among the people in Bethlehem. She cared about the interests of Naomi, not her own. In addition, when Naomi plans to find a home for Ruth, Ruth just complied without arguing. So when Boaz said to Ruth in the threshing floor, "Daughter, may you be blessed by the Lord. Your last grace is greater than the first, for you have not followed young men, rich or poor." So many Bible scholars believe Boaz is a more mature gentleman. So there's an age gap. You know, Ruth is a young lady, and then Boaz is a more mature gentleman. But Ruth is willing to obey Naomi's instructions, to not consider her own interests, looking for a young man, having her own fun time. But rather, she submit totally to the end. It's a big contrast to Elimelech's nearest kinsman. So seeing what Ruth did for her mother-in-law, Boaz praised Ruth as a woman of noble character or a virtuous woman. The same word was mentioned in Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, the same word mentioned about this woman of noble character in Proverbs 31, the word used for Ruth. Well, I, I, I don't know how Ruth looked like, whether she's beautiful or not, because the Bible never mentioned about that. But based on what was mentioned in the Bible, telling her story, you see the inner beauty. The inner beauty of her life is evident. She's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. So we mentioned about taking refuge. From the example of Ruth, we can see taking refuge, basically we identify, we take God as our only refuge. And when we take God as a refuge, we commit totally. And then we just follow submissively, totally following Jesus, and then in a way such to take God as our refuge. And then come to the closure. Here the Bible said, the woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to God, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse and the father of David. So the story comes to a happy ending. We all like happy ending, right? And Naomi was well taken care of. And the woman said, "It is better to have this woman, Ruth, than to have seven sons." Wow, what a praise. I don't have seven sons, I have only four sons. But having this woman is even better than having seven sons. And Naomi became sweet again. And then more importantly, the Bible mentions here, Boaz and Ruth gave birth to Obed, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. And we all know David. David is king of Israel. Ruth, a Moabite woman, became David's great-grandmother because she took refuge in the Lord, the God of Israel. How wonderful it is. Ruth was blessed by taking refuge in the Lord. Not only did she solve her immediate crisis, but she also participated in God's saving plan. The same for those who take refuge in God. We are all sinners. We have no place in His grace. But because of our confessions and accepting Jesus our Savior, we're now called the children of God, sharing the rich, abundant inheritance with Christ. Psalm 25, verse 20. "Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame." We're living in a difficult time indeed. The pandemic, war, polarization, economic uncertainties, tense geopolitical situations. We're concerned about inflation rate at this moment. The gas is getting more and more expensive. A lot of uncertainty. But let us learn from Ruth's example. Take refuge in God, fully relying on Him and following Jesus to the end. He will protect us, rescue us, and do not put us to shame. May God bless His word.